The congregation, the world has its list of top sellers in the music world, and they are always looking forward to the next one. They used to be called the top 10, and we remember that when I was a kid especially. Those making the ascent go up to Jerusalem in all of its forms, have many songs that they sing, that is, they sing some of their songs which are physically, some spiritually, and some celestial. The psalmist tells us about one of the psalms that has a confident song in Psalm 40, verse 3, quote, "He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord." Now, in our text this evening, we have a portion of that new song of praise to our God, but it is in a very special way, a song that speaks of the confidence of those making the ascent up to Jerusalem. This evening, we are looking at this text in five heads. Number one, the mark of those making the ascent. Secondly, the security of those making the ascent. Thirdly, the confidence of those making the ascent. Fourth, the warning of those making the ascent. And fifth, the blessing promised to those making the ascent. Well, here we go again. Here's number one, the mark of those making the ascent, and we're looking in verse 1. The text tells us that believing travelers trust in the Lord. Oh, beloved, here is the biblical definition of the true Israelite first. The true Israelite is a true member of the kingdom of God in any age. That is, that the true Israelite is a true member of the kingdom of God, and the true Israelite trusts in the Lord. That means that there were many true Israelites in the Old Testament economy. And every true believer in this New Testament economy, it is a true, or it is a spiritual Israelite. This is what the text teaches us, beloved, to sing in verse 1, quote, "Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever." The physical Israelites, who was a true Israelite, trusted in the Lord as he traveled the ascent up to the physical Jerusalem to worship the living God, that is Yahweh. Oh, beloved, the true member of the kingdom of God trusts in the Lord, that is, the one who is truly making the ascent up to the spiritual and celestial Jerusalem, trusts in the Lord with his whole heart. It is important to know the scriptures and the secondary standards of the church. That is, it is important to know the Westminster Shorter Catechism and the Westminster Confession of Faith, but knowing such things is not sufficient for salvation. The person truly making the ascent up to the spiritual Jerusalem has a very personal relationship with Jehovah God. Because the person who truly makes the ascent up to that spiritual Jerusalem trusts in the living God, that is, once again, Yahweh. Oh, beloved, to trust in the Lord is to entrust oneself totally and completely to the object of his trust, that is, to Yahweh. Trust and faith, and not momentarily things. Trust and faith are not, let me say it again, are not on and off things. To trust in the Lord is commit oneself to him for salvation, and to submit to his authority as sovereign and king. In the Old Testament, that was what true Israelite trusted. That is, it was Yahweh. In the New Testament, beloved, that is what the true believer trusts today. That means Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the fulfillment of the covenant of grace and the salvation that Jehovah God promised from the beginning to his chosen people when he said in Jeremiah 30, verse 22, quote, "You shall be my people, and I will be your God." Now stop a minute. Do you understand the name Arminianism? And do you understand the 2 point of Calvinism, which is unconditional election? Oh, beloved, the covenant of grace is the answer to man's sin. That is, salvation is glorious because the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to every believer by grace through faith. It is the answer as to how God can be the God of sinners and forgive their sins. That is because those sins were fully paid for by the suffering and the death of Jesus upon Calvary's cross. It is that gospel that is proclaimed and explained in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, in which we participate every Sabbath. This is indeed the mark of those making the ascent up to Jerusalem, that is, believing travelers confidently sing the songs of Zion and salvation because they trust in the Lord with all that implies. Now, the text tells us that believing travelers are firmly established. Believing travelers have a sure foundation. That is, believing travelers will never be moved. Oh, beloved, this is what the text teaches us to sing again in verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Oh, believing traveler has a foundation that is as certain as a mountain, and that is as certain as Mount Zion. Now, once again, beloved, it is clear that biblical faith is much, much more than a mere intellectual faith. This is what Jesus taught us about having the foundation in Matthew 7, verse 24, quote, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock." That is the house that is firmly established. That is the person who has a sure foundation. And that is the person which, like mine, Mount Zion, cannot be moved. Oh, beloved, that means that you are firmly established and you are as sure as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. Paul has also taught us that the believing travelers have a firm foundation. And Paul has said this in Colossians 1, verse 23, quote, "If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister." Oh, beloved, here again is the mark of those who are truly believing travelers making the ascent up to the spiritual Jerusalem today. They trust in the Lord, and they are established, and they are as unmovable as Mount Zion. Once again, that means that you trust in the Lord, and you are as unmovable as Mount Zion. Well, that's point one. Here's the second point. The security of those making the ascent. Now we're looking in verses 2. The text tells us that those believing travelers have a glorious protection. This is what the psalmist taught the travelers in verse 2, quote, "As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people." In the ancient mind, the concept of the idea of the mountains had set forth the idea of real protection. The ancient mind, beloved, understood the concept of real protection from the mountains before the days of guided missiles and airplanes or jeeps or maybe tanks even. To press an attack by crossing mountains was considered to be an impossibility. Now, there was only been maybe one army who could cross the mountains. Do you remember when the army of Hannibal did cross the Alps and they attacked Italy and they overwhelmed the Roman army in 216 BC? Once again, beloved, there were and there continue to be mountains that surround Jerusalem. And to the ancient mind, those mountains indicated certain protection, justly as those strong protective mountains surrounded Jerusalem. The psalmist indicated that Yahweh surrounded his people. As Israel knew that Jerusalem was truly safe, so the people of God today are truly safe, since that infinite, eternal, unchangeable, and omnipotent God does in fact surround the truly people of God as the believers travel up to that spiritual Jerusalem, that is, to the physical church, and of course, ultimately, to heaven. Oh, beloved, it is a glorious, secure protection which God's people have. And it is a glorious, secure protection which you have. Now, the text tells us that those believing travelers have a protection that is everlasting. Now, beloved, that protection is secure, and the people of God will never be overcome. With the advance of technology, the mountains surrounding Jerusalem have ceased to be much protection. Today, there are guided missiles, there are bombers, there are easily fly over those mountains, and there are maybe even Hummers and tanks that traverse those mountains now. But the sovereign, omnipotent God remains a sure and secure protection for his people who are traveling up to that spiritual Jerusalem. Our God will never fail those believing travelers, and our God will never desert them. Oh, beloved, as believers travel up to that spiritual Jerusalem, they are safe and secure as long as time and eternity lasts. Do you understand that? You and I, as we travel up to that spiritual Jerusalem, we are safe and secure as long as time and eternity lasts. The text teaches us to sing the words once again in verse 2, "As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and evermore." Oh, beloved, these words in verse 2 are part of the new song of confidence that is sung by those making the ascent up to that physical church and finally up to heaven. Well, that's the second point. Here's the third point. And the third point is the confidence of those making the appoint, and now we're looking in verses 3 and 4. The text now tells us that the believing travelers are confident of ultimate victory. This promise of verse 3 must be carefully read and considered in the light of all Scripture. This is what the psalmist has said in verse 3, quote, "For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the land of the righteous, so that the righteous will not put forth their hands to do wrong." The commentator, Mr. Charles Spurgeon, has written, quote, "The people of God are not to expect immunity from trial, because the Lord surrounds them, for they may feel the power and the persecution of the ungodly. God has set a limit to the woes of his chosen. The rod may light on their portion, but it shall not rest upon it." As we've seen so many times before, there is a great spiritual warfare in which the people of God are engaged. The true believers who are indeed traveling up to that spiritual Jerusalem are being opposed by the world, by the devil, and by their own weak flesh. And at times it may seem that they are being overcome. But that text tells us that the believing travelers have complete confidence. And even though the people of God are attacked by the enemies of God and are attacked by the kingdom of Satan, these enemies and the kingdom of Satan will not and cannot be ultimate victorious. The rod of the wicked will not rest upon the land of the righteous, whether that is seen as the rod of chastening or the rod of sovereign rule. Oh, beloved, remember that the land is again a type of the church, and that means that the church will never be defeated by Satan and his kingdom of unrighteousness. The ultimate victory is in the hand of the Lord, and our God has promised ultimate victory to his people. That is, the church of Christ will never be destroyed. So then, this is a song of faith, a song of confidence. The text now tells us that the believing travelers are confident of blessing. The confidence is seen in the inspired prayer of the psalmist in verse 4, quote, "Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hands," upright in their hearts. The good and the upright in heart are the people of God. That is, the good and the upright in heart are the believing travelers. Oh, beloved, those believing travelers have been regenerated, and the Holy Spirit has taken the heart of stone out of those who have become believers, and the Holy Spirit has placed a heart of flesh in them. And so those believing travelers sang as they make the ascent up to that physically Jerusalem. Once again, the inspired words of this psalm were sung by the believing travelers as they traveled up to that physical Jerusalem. Knowing now that this is an inspired prayer, those making the ascent up to the spiritual Jerusalem sing it from the depths of their beings, knowing that it is Yahweh's purpose to do just that. That is, to do them good. We quote it so often, but that very concept is aptly reflected in Romans 8, verse 28, quote, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. All of the promises of the covenant, beloved, are yea and amen to the true people of God, who by God's grace are striving to keep the covenant. Only the promise of chastening and discipline are also sure for those who do not strive to obey that covenant. But for those who from the heart strive to obey God and long to do all that they do for the glory of God, they can be confident that ultimate victory is theirs. And as they mark the ascent up to the spiritual and heavenly Jerusalem, they confidently sing of the blessing of ultimate good and safe arrival at the heavenly Jerusalem will be ours." Well, that's the third point. Here's the fourth point. And the fourth point is the warning of those making the ascent. We're looking now at verses 5. The text now tells us that the believing travelers are not to become overconfident. With all of the confidence that the people of God are encouraged to have, they are warned not to become overconfident or to presume upon the grace of God. Not everyone who would begin the trip up to that physical Jerusalem would arrive for the feast. Some could get tired and decide to return home after a short beginning. Oh, beloved, not everyone who seemingly joins the travelers in faith and begins the trip up to the celestial city along with Pilgrim will necessarily arrive there. There are some who would not persevere to the end, and those would not arrive safely. Notice the fifth point, however, of Calvinism, that is, the perseverance of the believers, and that is this way, quote, "Once saved, always saved." There are those seeming travelers who turn aside, that is, those who committed travelers go along their own pleasures, and those uncommitted travelers go after the promises of this world. Oh, beloved, this is where the psalmist spoke about those committed travelers in verse 5, quote, "But as for those who turn aside to their crooked ways," it would be like taking a few steps in the narrow and straight road and then turning on the easier road and a road that was very wider. Jesus warns us in Matthew 24, verses 10 through 17, this very words, quote, "At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many because lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved." Oh, beloved, the psalmist has warned us in the light of the above verse that we are not to become overconfident and we are not to presume upon the grace of God. But the warning is also the believing travelers must persevere to the end, no matter what the situation or the circumstances may be on the ascent. The text now tells us that the committed travelers will be turned aside. Now the psalmist has been teaching us about the warning in the beginning of verse 5. Quote, "The Lord will lead them away with the doers of iniquity. The commentator, again, Mr. Plummer, has taught us how to understand this verse, quote, to be led forth, which such is to be conducted to punishment or executed with them. O beloved, those who turn aside to crooked ways are those who are doers of iniquity. A true traveler, beloved, had to be more than to be just a physical Israelite. The true traveler had to be a spiritual Israelite who had been redeemed and truly loved to travel up to Jerusalem to worship and living God, that is Yahweh. Oh, beloved, a true traveler today has to be much more than just a church member. The true traveler today has to be a spiritual Israelite who has been redeemed and truly loves to travel up to Jerusalem to worship the living God, that is Yahweh. Oh, beloved, once again, a true traveler must be much more than just a member of the visible church. Being a member of the visible church isn't enough, beloved, as has been said before. What is required is a vibrant faith, that is, a true trust in the promises of the covenant, and a true trust in the Lord of the covenant that causes one to persevere to the end. Even this is part of our new song, that is, to encourage one another to love and good works as we together make the ascent up to the spiritual Jerusalem, that is, up to the physical church, and finally, up to heaven. Well, that's verse 4. Now, verse 5. Very short. Here's the fifth point. The blessing promised to those making the ascent. Now we're looking at verse, the bottom of page 5. Finally, the text tells us that the travelers must sing the glorious promise in this psalm as we travel up to the spiritual Jerusalem, and that promise is the ultimate blessing. Here is the psalm that the travelers sing in verse 5 at the bottom, quote, peace be upon Israel. Once again, we can't be absolutely sure if this is a future prophetic song. That is, this song may be a promise for the future. Peace will be upon Jerusalem. Or this song may be a prayer. But as we have seen, an inspired prayer is also a promise. We can pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we certainly should pray for the peace of the physical church, because God has promised that such peace will belong to Jerusalem, and that means the church of Christ. Once again, it begins with each individual having peace with God. It advances as the peace of God fills us and dwells in us richly. And the result is that Jerusalem, that is the physical church, enjoys peace as the people of God intellectually and experientially know the Prince of Peace, are more and more transformed into his image. So we are to pray for that peace, even as we more and more enjoy that peace. Oh, beloved, you are really concerned, or let me say it slightly differently. Oh, beloved, are you really concerned about the peace of Jerusalem? Are you really concerned about the peace of this church? Then join with those who are making the ascent up to that spiritual Jerusalem and sing confidently of that glorious blessing of peace which we possess in Christ. Finally, beloved, as you travel that ascent up toward the heavenly Jerusalem, you will more and more possess that glorious blessing of peace until you arrive safely at that blessed city, the city of ultimate and eternal peace that is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, teach us to know that every true believer is firmly established in you, and that every believer is unmovable as Mount Zion. Finally, Father, teach us to truly pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that is, pray for the peace of this church. In Jesus' name, amen.